It is a beautiful Monday morning.
That's not a good start, is it, Jordan?
No.
Let's say it like this.
Try and apply that theory to any other industry in the world.
It's a scam.
I was betting like 70, 80K.
This is the Trademate Sports Betting Podcast, helping you beat the bookmakers. Welcome to episode 76 of the Trademate Sports Betting Podcast, a betting preview of UFC 257, but we'll also be taking a quick look at the midweek card, which is headlined by Michael Chiesa and Neil Magny, along with some fights on that too. So it should be, yeah, we should get quite a few fights on this podcast. And joining me, as always, ex-MMA fighter, Ryan Bruno, smart sports trader, whatever you want to call him. How are you, mate?
Yeah, I'm good, mate. How are you?
Very good, mate. You nailed it last week. I was looking through some of the results of the podcast and some of your picks and my picks too. I think the only one we got wrong was the Ponzinibbio fight, although you could make an argument. I did say Jing Liang, 5.5 KO. I mean, I did say it. So
you said it was live,
Does it count?
I don't care if you want me.
No, mate, it doesn't count at all. And then the other one was the Holloway Cater fight. We got half wrong, I would say. But I mean, that was just ridiculous. I mean, who could have predicted? I mean, you could have predicted a whole Holloway win, but to win like that was extraordinary.
Yeah, and reminded me of like Anderson Silva back in the day. It was one of them like performances where, you know, even after it's finished, you're thinking about it. And I couldn't sleep for about 2 hours afterwards, even. the adrenaline was going. I was like, it was one of the all-time great performances, that, wasn't it?
Yeah, how I felt after it was incredible. But I was actually a bit angry at the whole, like, how the fact that it wasn't stopped and that his corner did nothing. I don't know, the corner's always a weird one because they obviously should have the fighter's best interests at heart, but it's always hard to judge them whether they should stop the fight or not. I think it was pretty obvious, though, that Herb Dean should have stopped it. And I listened to, what are they called, Morning Combat, the podcast you put me onto with Luke Thomas and Brian Campbell, and I think Luke Thomas sums it up perfectly. I don't think that something's going to change in the sport until someone dies. And I know that's pretty fucked up to say, but I think something terrible is going to have to happen before we take their welfare a bit more seriously, because there was absolutely no chance going into that last round that Cater was going to win. There was no hope. I don't care what people say. There was absolutely no hope.
No, I think the corner should be a bit better, because like in boxing they tend to be a little bit better. I mean, like when you think about MMA, like Pettis, his coach, he's got him out there, didn't he, against Ferguson? And it has happened a few times, but like you say, in that case, it was like, just what's the point of sending somebody out there to get beaten up for another round after, you know, how many shots did he absorb? Was it? It was like 400 shots or something, right? That was like,
yeah, I think it was 350 or so significant strikes. Land, and it's just like, I think his career is not ruined, but it's going to be hampered in some kind of way, and his life, like, it might not be next year or the year after, but in, you know, 10, 15, 20 years time, at some point Cater's life is, I think it's so sad, because there was I could talk about it all day, but I think it's a bit sad that, like, Cater might never win a UFC title, and there's nothing wrong with that at all. It's the fact that he could continue to fight in the UFC, make lots of money, and beat other fighters like Zabit, or, you know, compete at least with Zabit, and beat the, like, whoever else is in the division, Yair Rodriguez, these kind of guys. So he can compete with those guys, but from now on, I think it can only go downhill for me.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be hard for him to come back from that, isn't it? Because, you know, he got to that spot, and then, you know, to get beaten like that, like, you know, as tough as he is, that's going to have an effect on your mentality going forward. So, yeah, we'll have to see, won't we, really? It's just, like you say, until something serious happens. Well, I mean, fighters have died before, haven't they? It has happened, but not in the UFC. So,
exactly.
You know, until, you know, somebody maybe goes into a coma afterwards, or, you know, they do something, then maybe they'll be a bit more stringent. And, like, it looked like Herb was going to stop it a few times, and then, you know, Cater would throw, like, one or two shots off the fence to look like he was defending himself. So, yeah, it's yeah, obviously you don't want to see that, but it is what it is, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, the fight to go the distance bet got up for me and you also, but it's like I just couldn't celebrate it at all. It was like, it was just the most undeserved victory of all time. So anyway, mate, we'll kick on. I'll get my little lower third up here for the UFC Fight Night preview, which is, I think it's this time tomorrow. It will have been played out by this time tomorrow. So people who are listening in, you want to get these bets on pretty quick. But first, quiz question of the week is, what was Conor McGregor's first ever win in the UFC? And we'll get to that at the end of the podcast. But firstly, anything outside of Michael Chiesa versus Neil Magny? Yeah, outside of that headliner, is there anything else that's taking your interest from a betting perspective, mate?
Yeah, so I've put two bets on. I'll start with the first one, which is, it's Dalcha Lungiambula, I think that's how you pronounce it. And he's fighting Marcus Perez.
Yeah.
So Dalcha's coming down from light heavyweight. And his last fight, he fought Ankalaev, and he lost via TKO. But since that fight, he's moved camps. He's been training in America, from what I've seen on his Twitter and social media and stuff. So the guy's like an athletic freak. Like, I don't know, do you kind of remember him? Or do you have any kind of...
No, I've never seen him fight. No. Sorry, mate.
Well, he's similar to like Yoel Romero. Really, he's absolutely shredded. He's really explosive. He closes the distance really well, but he's quite wild. You know, considering he's 35 and he's been fighting for a quite long time, it's a little worrying. Some of his tendencies. He does overreact to like feints, and sometimes he makes like funny movements when people are throwing kicks. He doesn't really block. He kind of swats them with his hands, so he gets away with a lot because he's so athletic and he's so fast and he's so powerful. And he's fighting Marcus Perez, who is coming. I think he fought in October and he lost against a guy called Duplessis. I can't remember his first name. So he's coming in off a knockout, and it was a fairly bad knockout. You know, he face planted. But he's quite a wild man as well. He manages distance fairly well. He's got almost like a, well, in his last fight, he had like a kind of karate stance where he was like leaping in and out. But when he moves back, he tends to move back in a straight line, and he keeps his head quite up as well. His hands aren't really defending him, and he doesn't really move off to the side that well. And I think with Dalcha, his ability to close distance is really, really good. So he can fly forward, and I think he's got a really good chance of catching him. I also think Dalcha is going to have, he's physically a lot stronger, so I think he's going to have a big strength advantage. I think he'll be able to get takedowns if he wants them. I think he's going to have more control time, whether it's against the fence or whether it's putting him on his back. So I just like Dalcha here. I think he's got, I just think he has more ways to win. I think if Perez wins, it's probably because he catches him with something, or unless, you know, Dalcha just... kind of stays at range and lets himself get picked off, but I can't really see that. I think Dalcha will either get a takedown, or I think he'll land some big shots himself. So, yeah, I like Dalcha here. And looking at that 1.73 looks good. I got him at 1.75, I think, this morning. So
yep.
He's come in a bit. I'll check the Pinnacle price because I think he's come in there. So there's a few books that are probably lagging. Yeah, so he's 1.68 on Pinnacle at the moment.
Yeah. Yeah, 1.73 on Sky Betfred, yeah, and Betway currently.
Yeah, so if they're around tomorrow when this comes out, I'd take them.
All right, terrific. How much lower do you think you take on Dalcha?
I have him about like the 1.6 range. So, you know, if you can get anything above 1.65, if you can get that 1.66, I'd still take that. But yeah, if you can get 1.77 is a really good bet, but say lowest go 1.66.
Yeah, right. Yeah, well, you can basically get that everywhere right now. So definitely some opportunities there for people. And the other one you wanted to go through was Mike Davis versus Mason Jones.
Yeah, that's right. So I mentioned this one briefly last week, and I said that the money was coming in on Mason Jones, and it's continued to come in. So I've got Mike Davis at 1.62. I'll check the current price now. So he's 1.61 on Pinnacle. So you can get like 1.62 there. But yeah, Mason Jones is, he's a Welsh fighter. He's coming in from the Cage Warriors promotion. So he's been fighting in the kind of regional UK scene. He's 10-0, so he's undefeated, but he's not really fought any like top level competition, but he looks pretty decent. He's well-rounded. He's tough. He's got a good chin. He seems to have pretty decent cardio, and he's got a decent kicking game. So he looks good, but I don't put him in like kind of the elite level category, or like I don't think he'll be a top tier UFC fighter. Whereas Mike Davis, I've been quite impressed with him. He's 8-2, but if you look at his losses, it's to what's it called, Yodik, the Nigerian dude, Sadiq Yusuf. Sorry,
yeah
Sadiq Yusuf.
Yeah, I can't remember his name.
Yeah, I'm sure it's Yodik Yusuf. I said it there. I said it the wrong way around. I think Yodik Yusuf, I was going to say. But yeah, he's got a loss to him, where he basically got leg kicked in that fight, and that kind of wore on as the fight went on. And then he's also got a loss to Gilbert Burns, but there's no shame in those losses, really. It's the two kind of, you know, top-level UFC guys. And I've seen that he's training at ATT as well now, so he's obviously gone there. And he looks like he's got a lot of raw potential. He's just a really good athlete. He's the quicker fighter. He's the more explosive fighter. He's fought the better competition. He looks physically stronger as well. He's shown to have good cardio over three rounds. And I think he'll probably have the grappling advantage as well. So I just think that Mason Jones, I mean, Mason Jones has been backed in pretty heavily. I think he opened at about 2.9, so he's coming a lot. But I think it's gone too far now. I think that Mike Davis has a lot of like athletic advantages. And I think that, you know, that makes him a pretty decent favorite here. I'd have him more like the about 1.55 range rather than what he is currently. So, yeah, you should be able to get this price. It doesn't look like he's being steamed in, but it could reverse near fight time. But if you can get like 1.6, anything above that, I'd be pretty happy.
Yeah, well, it seems like money is coming in on Mike Davis still in the Asian market. So, yeah, I'm sorry, Mason Jones. So I'm wondering whether you can wait a little bit longer, but yeah, you can still get 1.62 at BetVictor and Betway, 1.61 at Bet365 and on the exchanges. So, I mean, there isn't long till fight time now, so maybe just jump on those 1.62, 1.61 markers.
Yeah, I'd get on them.
Yeah, all right, terrific, mate. Well, let's quickly talk. We talked a little bit about the main event last week. Chiesa versus Neil Magny. Chiesa looked great since coming up to welterweight, undefeated at 170 pounds, impressive outing against Dos Anjos, which was actually a year ago now. So feels like that just happened the other day. But, yeah, it was actually a year ago that he beat Dos Anjos. I'm pretty sure it was by decision. He kind of just grinded out a decision victory, yeah, pretty dominant over Rafael. Magny also on a win streak, four-fight win streak, decision wins over Jing Liang, who just KO'd Ponzinibbio on the weekend. He's beaten Lawler and Rocco Marden. You've already, just so we skip over what you've said, already said last week, where you said you might wait for the result of the first two rounds and then live bet Magny due to his superior cardio. Let's just start off in a different way. Magny has six defeats. This is kind of my stat for you. Magny has six defeats in the UFC, three by submission, two by decision. Do you think Chiesa has the ability to submit Magny in the first couple rounds?
Yeah, I think, you know, that could be a danger. I've already taken that bet. I put it up on Betfair the other day and I got 5.4, I think, on Chiesa. Wow. And 5 was hanging around on Will Hill earlier in the week, but it's 4.5 now. So last time I checked, there was a little bit of money left on Betfair, but there was about £15 left, I think. So, you know, that might, you know, that might not stay there. But if you can get near 5, I'd be pretty happy. I mean, what's the best you've seen at the moment?
Yeah, I'm scanning up now. I was looking yesterday. I thought 4.5 submission for Chiesa was pretty decent. You can get 4.5 at Skybet William Hill, and a little bit lower than that, 4.33 to a few other bookies. But yeah, I think Chiesa by submission. Magny's been taken down, you know, reasonably easily and submitted by guys like Dos Anjos and, you know, legit grapplers like Damian Maia. But I just, yeah, I kind of, the way I look at this fight is I only see it going two ways, either Chiesa by submission or Magny by decision. I mean, you could maybe see Chiesa winning by decision also, but I thought the odds should be a little bit lower on Chiesa by submission.
Yeah, I mean, 4.5 is still good, like you say. If Chiesa gets him down, then we've seen Magny, like RDA, run through him on the ground pretty well, and not, you know, obviously can't always do MMA math, but Chiesa handled himself fairly well against RDA, but, you know, it's different body types and different takedowns and stuff. But by that logic, it seems like a pretty good bet. And like you say, that, you know, the way I see the fight is either Chiesa can get Magny down, and, you know, if he can get him down, then he's got 5 rounds to find a submission. If he can't get him down, then, you know, I think Magny will be able to take Chiesa out and probably win a decision, or he might find a late finish because, you know, obviously his cardio is good, and I think he does have a decent striking advantage as well. So I think it's a pretty good bet.
I mean, I'm pretty confident in saying Chiesa will get him down in the first round. Would you say that confidently?
I don't know, really. It depends if Magny... I mean, Magny's a funny one, really. Sometimes he looks really good, and then other times he's... Yeah. He seems like he's just, like, physically not that strong. So, it's like I say, I mean, if Chiesa does, I mean, you might get some crazy odds on, like, Chiesa round one sub. I don't know what that would be. But if you could get, like, some, like, 15 on that, that would be, you know, pretty good. But, yeah, the sub prop looks decent. It's, you know, it's if Magny can survive, I suppose, as well, if he does get taken down. And how much is that going to take out of Chiesa as well?
Yeah, you can get... a round one victory just in general for Chiesa at 8 to 8.5, that kind of range on most bookies. So, so I don't know. It's just one of those ones where, yeah, you kind of only see it going two ways, don't you? And I don't really rate Chiesa's cardio. I feel like he kind of tires out pretty quickly. Either that or he looks a bit all over the place on the feet, at least, if he's been grappling for a couple of rounds.
Yeah, he's kind of lumbering, isn't he? Like, his movement isn't very fluid, whereas Magny is a bit more of a fluid mover. But, I mean, Chiesa is pretty effective when he does grab all the guys. So, I mean, it'll be a pretty good fight. Like I say, one of the ways to look at it, like from a live betting perspective, would just be to see how Magny kind of deals with, Chiesa's attempts to drag him to the floor or get him against the cage, you know, if he's able to circle out and just pop him with a jab, you know, if he can do that in the first round, you know, he's probably just going to light him up. So after that, you know, I'd probably be taking Magny at like, what, 1.5, something like that. So
yeah, no, definitely. So yeah, hopefully we've offered a few options up for people there. So if you can get Chiesa sub around the $5 mark, I think, or five in odds mark, I still think I'll take 4.5 if I can find it somewhere. I think that's pretty decent value. Nothing like incredible, but I still think that's decent value. And maybe you could, if you're going to back Magny, maybe then you could be looking at the decision markets. I'm not quite sure what he was at. I think around 2.3, 2.5. I'll take another quick look now. 2.5 you can get in a few places. 2.62 also. Bet365. So yeah, that's pretty decent odds too if you do want to back Magny. And then, like Ryan said a couple times now, live betting could be the way to go after the first or second round if Chiesa is struggling to get him out of there early. So awesome, mate. We will move on to the big fight, or the big card. UFC 257, Poirier versus McGregor 2. I guess before we'll go through Dan Hooker, Chandler, and we'll go through the big one, McGregor, Poirier. But outside of those two, mate, is there anything else that you're finding interesting?
Yeah, so I've had a little look. I've not had the time yet to have a deep dig into the prelims, just because homeschooling kids and all this type of stuff, it's taking a lot of time. But I've had a look, and something that did pop out to me was the Juliana Pena versus Sarah McMahon fight.
Yes, I was interested by this too, but keep going. Sorry to interrupt.
That's all right.
I just got excited.
I'd like to hear your thoughts on it, really. What do you kind of think about it?
Well, I think that Juliana Pena is a much better fighter than Sarah McMahon. That was the first thing that struck out to me, and I thought, how on earth is McMahon is she favourite? But then just having a deeper think about it, I kind of thought that maybe they've got it right here. I haven't seen a whole lot of McMahon, but I know that she's an incredible wrestler, so I just think maybe Pena might struggle. And Pena's, I guess, strength is her grappling and getting people to the ground. So I thought possibly this will just stay on the feet, and I don't have any confidence in either of these girls to say that I think one of them's the better striker. So I would also be interested in hearing your point of view.
I'm quite looking forward to this fight. It should be good. Like I say, Sarah McMahon, she's a good wrestler, but she's kind of a bit of a flake sometimes. It's like mentally, she doesn't seem like she's a... Like, you've got fighters and you've got athletes, and she seems like she's more of an athlete than she is a fighter. So she's, you know, and she's very impressive. You know, if you look at her physique and stuff, she's nearly 40 years old, or she might actually be 40 years old, I think. Mm. But still, you know, she's very, muscled for a female fighter. And when she gets things her own way, she's very good. When she can just take girls down and stay on top of them and control things, you know, she's very good, and she's got the ability to do that to Pena. But Pena is she's a real fighter. You know, she's got a lot of grit. She won't quit. And sorry, it sounded like a rap song then, but but yeah, as I was saying, Pena, she's not going to look for a way out, whereas we've seen McMahon look for a way out in previous fights when things don't go well. So if she gets cracked, you know, sometimes she just kind of folds. And I think, you know, the same thing could happen in this fight. If Pena can crack her on the feet, I think she'll shoot a lazy takedown and give her neck up. I think if she ends up on her back, I think she'll end up turning and giving her a back and giving her a neck there. So I quite like Pena to win inside the distance. I thought so initially, but then sometimes we've seen Pena just rain down elbows, you know, and be quite nasty on top. So I'd just like, I think Pena inside the distance is a good bet. It's not up on odds check. I was looking, so lagging a little bit because they've got one card tomorrow and then one card on Saturday. But if I look on if you go and look in the American markets, you can see that you can get Pena inside the distance at 4.25. That's with five dimes. So I imagine one of the UK books will open similar to that. And I think that's a pretty decent bet. You know, if you can get like 4.25, 4.5 on Pena to win inside the distance, I think that's a good bet. Because I think either McMahon controls the fight and wins a decision, or I think Pena lands something or gets a neck or grabs something. And like I say, McMahon, you know, when she has lost, she tends to find a way to lose. So, that's my pick for that.
Yeah, well, if the fight was on the feet, do you see any angles there as to who might be superior?
What, on the feet?
Yeah.
I think Pena probably, just because, like I say, she's like a real fighter. You know, she's got grit. If she gets hit, she'll come forward and she'll carry on fighting. I think if McMahon takes a shot, she's just going to dive for a leg and you know, Pena has got decent submissions and a decent grappling game, so I think she could find something if she hurts her. So.
Do you think they've got the money line market right here with Pena as favourite? As McMahon as favourite? You can get her around. You can get her at 1.91 in some places, but most of the places 1.75 to 1.8, and Pena at 2.1 on a few bookies there. Like. Do you think they've got that right, that she should be going in as favourite?
Maybe, just because she has got the ability to control Pena, but it's close. It's like a 50-50 fight, so it seems fairly right. I mean, there might be a little bit of value in Pena. I just prefer the Pena inside the distance line, just because when I look at the fight of, like, the probabilities of Pena winning, like, inside the distance to the probabilities of... winning a decision, I just think I'd much rather take to win inside the distance. But I mean, I wouldn't be put off if somebody said, you know, they thought there's some value there. There might be some value. It's just I just prefer the kind of method of victory route, I suppose.
Yeah. No, good stuff, mate. It was one of the, like I said, when I first looked at it, I was like, it's strange, because I think if you look at their careers, Pena has a much stronger resume, or at least performances. Like, she held her own again. It's a long time ago, but when she fought Shevchenko, Was she winning that fight? Or she either that or she was doing really well and then she just got caught in a submission with Shevchenko. That's my memory, at least.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, I remember I bet Shevchenko in that fight, and then I was getting a bit nervous because, yeah, Payne, it was, landing takedowns, and I think she was getting in the clinch quite a lot. And, yeah, she got armbarred. So.
Hmm. Yeah, so I don't know. It's one of those ones where it's you can't really do, like, you know, MMA, you can't really do, you know, like just compare their records or their resumes and say she's going to win just because she's got the better record, but or at least she's a better fighter. It's all, you know, styles make matchups. So, yeah, definitely an interesting one, mate. And I don't know, I still might be siding with just taking her on the money line just because, I mean, I could see it going the distance and Pena winning, but, yeah, maybe do a bit more analysis on that one before giving some certified picks, mate. This is my favorite card or favorite fight of the night, personally, and I think from a betting perspective, I can see a few opportunities here. Dan Hooker versus Michael Chandler. I'm very interested to hear your take on this fight, but Hooker coming off of one of the fights of the year versus Poirier. He's been in some big wars lately, though. He had the one with Felder early in 2020 in New Zealand. So that's, you know, two massive fights in 2020. He got the victory over Felder but lost to Poirier. Chandler, first fight in the UFC after 23 fights in Bellator. For those who don't know, he was the champion with Bellator three times. Defended the belt three times over his career, but he also lost the belt three times. So, interesting little stat for you all there. The way I want to open this up, mate, is looking at just if the fight stayed on the feet, which it could well do. Do you think Chandler is a match for Hooker at all on the feet?
No, I think he'll struggle with Hooker's range. Like, we've seen Chandler struggle with guys that are quite long before. Like, he struggled with a guy called Will Brooks, who came into the UFC. He was a Bellator champion. He came into the UFC. Yep. I think he had, like, one win. I think he beat Ross Pearson, and then he kind of just faded away. But I think Will Brooks beat Chandler twice from memory, and he stopped him the second time.
He beat him by split decision in the first fight, and then I think, yeah, finished him in the second.
Yeah. So, like, Chandler's kind of had, if you've never seen him before, he's kind of short, stocky guy, very powerful wrestler, kind of similar. I don't know if you remember Sean Sherk, they used to call him the Muscle Shark, but he's very, like, compact, and he's very powerful. You know, if he hits you, you know, he can put guys out, and he's got a really good, like, blast double leg as well. He's physically very strong when he gets guys down. He's got, he's got really good grip strength, and he's kind of out-wrestled guys like Benson Henderson, who's a decent wrestler. Who was former UFC champion. So he does have that. And the thing with Hooker is, like, looking through his record and watching his fights, like, you don't have somebody to compare that to. So that's, like, a slight worry for me. But on the feet, you'd think that Hooker would have a pretty decent advantage, really. You know, he's got the range, obviously. He's very big. He comes out the same camp as Adesanya, so he obviously knows how to fight at range. Sometimes he does get drawn into kind of brawls when it seems like he doesn't need to. Sometimes he...
Yeah.
So he does, like, fight guys against the fence, and, like, he seems like he just likes to engage in that fight, which I think would be a mistake against Chandler. But if he can just, you know, keep Chandler at range, I think Chandler has to, the way that Chandler has to get inside is either to kind of slip and throw a big hook, or he's got to shoot him for a double. So if he shoots him for a double, he's, you know, he's going to be open for a knee. And if he's trying to, like, use head movement to slip in, then, you know, Hooker's good at moving back, and he could hit him with a straight maybe. So... yeah, if it stays on the feet, I think that, you know, Hooker should have a pretty big advantage.
Yeah, I agree. I haven't seen a whole lot of Chandler just because of, you know, being in Bellator. But interestingly enough, I looked at their reach because I thought looking at both the fighters just from, you know, just watching them, you'd think that Hooker has a massive reach advantage, but they actually have the same reach, which is, or I think Hooker has one inch advantage or something like that. So I thought that was quite interesting.
Yeah, the thing with, like, reach and stuff, though, is it doesn't take into account, like, leg length, and it doesn't take into account height, because if you're punching someone like Stefan Struve, then you've got to punch up, like, so, yeah. It, like, you reach that way. It, you know, it's not comparative when you're punching somebody's up. So sometimes, like, so, you know, sometimes you can look at those reach stats and you can think, oh, that's strange. But I just kind of like to look at the way they fight and the way that they use that reach, because it's you know, it's quite different normally.
Yeah, well, he's, I think, 6 inches taller than Chandler, so that's pretty significant. Hooker is a huge 155er. So, yeah, I agree, mate. I think Chandler, I think Hooker, and actually what I want to ask is Chandler's chin. What do you think of his chin? Because he has been knocked out a few times, and he's been knocked out by, is it Patricky Pitbull? Is that, I always get mixed up on which is which. But, yeah. You know, he's obviously got power, but he's a 145er naturally. So, like comparing his power with someone like Dan Hooker, you would think that if Dan Hooker lands a decent punch, he's probably going to go down.
Yeah, I don't think Chandler has he doesn't have a granite chin. You know, he's not got like a Carlos Condit chin. He's been put out, like you say, he's been put out a few times. And like Will Brooks isn't really a big puncher either, and he stopped him. I think, I can't remember if Alvarez stopped him or not, but I think Alvarez might have stopped him as well in one of the fights. So he might have submitted him, maybe him remembering things wrong. But yeah, I think if, you know, Hooker's obviously, he's got the durability advantage as well. You know, Hooker can take a shot. I mean, Barboza stopped him, but he took a massive amount of damage, didn't he?
And, he stopped him by leg kicks, didn't he?
Yeah, that was more back. I was going to say that's Barboza's kicking game, really, which Chandler doesn't have. So for Chandler to win, I think he's got to implement his wrestling. But obviously, he's got to kind of get inside Hooker's reach to do that. So yeah, when I've looked at this fight, I mean, when a few weeks ago, Chandler was like pretty big. He was like 2.4, 2.5. So I put some money up on Betfair and I got a little bit matched at 2.5. And he's 2.2 now, but I wouldn't take him at that price. And I'm looking at the props, I think I'd rather be on Hooker by KO, I think.
Yeah, well, that's what I've written down in my notes here. I don't know what it's at now, but I'll get up the odds. So, yeah, as Marine was saying, Chandler's, you can get him at 2.25 on BetVictor, but most places he's at the 2 to 2.1 mark, method of victory, and you can get Hooker at 1.8 at a few places at the moment. But yes, Dan Hooker by KO 3.25, Skybet 3.3, Paddy Power 3.3, Betfair. So yeah, I think I completely agree with you, mate. I think you'll find it really tough to be able to take down I think it'll be really hard for Chandler to take down Hooker. He's got very good takedown defense. He was taken down by Poirier once, and that was kind of, I think it was in the third or the fourth round when, you know, they were both pretty knackered. And he was taken down by someone a while ago. Oh, I can't remember. I'd have to look at his record, but I think, basically, do you think the same as me that it'll be very hard for him to take him down, for Chandler to take Hooker down?
I don't know, to be honest. Like I say, when you look at Hooker's record, it's hard to find somebody that's got like comparative wrestling ability, I suppose, and that explosion. So it's one of those where you don't know, really. I don't think Iaquinta is as explosive as Chandler or as like physically strong.
Good comparison to make might be Gilbert Burns. This was a few years ago, but Gilbert Burns, a very good wrestler, and he knocked him out in 2.5 minutes.
Yeah, he got him with a knee from memory, but I can't remember if Burns attempted a takedown in that fight or not. But like, I still like that Hooker. I like the Hooker KO line if you can get like, you know, 3.25, 3.5, maybe when the exchanges like start offering a price, I'd take that.
Yeah, no, I agree, man. I kind of think the odds are a little bit wrong on this one. I think Hooker should be shorter. So, yeah, I agree. I would be, Hooker at 3.3 is good value. And, I mean, maybe you could even have a look at something like round one Hooker, which I can have a quick look at now. Hooker round one, 5.5. You can get at Paddy Power and Betfair. I don't know if you can round one Hooker by KO, I don't know if that would change the odds too much. I don't think they have it on Odds Checker. But
no, they seem to be lagging a bit with the Saturday's card. And another thing as well that I forgot to mention is that in Bellator, they don't have as stringent drug testing as well. So That's, you know, I'm not saying talent is, it's not, you know, I'm not saying it definitely is, but it's something that you have to factor in that, you know, USADA testing is different to kind of regular testing. And Chandler is, you know, if you look at him, he's shredded and heavily muscled. So like that could be something, you know, that could go against him. So kind of always like to wait and see, but.
These are the conversations I want to have, mate. This is the interesting. All right, mate. But something I know you definitely want to talk about this week before we get to the main event is Manscaped. Now, the Trademate Sports Betting Podcast is brought to you by Manscaped. Best in men's below-the-waist grooming offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. They've just launched in the UK, so good news for you, mate. They're also available all around the world, in Europe, Australia, North America. So we thought we're pretty global too. We'll partner up with them. And, just myself, you know, I think it's very important that you can have a tool where you can be confident and do your shaving and all these kind of things and just be happy that nothing bad's going to happen. Because I don't know about you, Ryan, but I've just had some terrible, terrible occurrences where I've been down there just doing my business, getting things ready for the weekend, and all of a sudden it's a bloodbath. So that's the reason why Manscaped, of their engineering team, has perfected the greatest hair trimmer ever created and just released the new and improved Lawnmower 3.0 in the UK. I had another crack with it over the weekend, and it was just such a pleasurable experience. The LED light, the waterproof technology, it just allows for such precise trimming. And there's a little spray. I still haven't used the spray, but I'll have to use that maybe over the coming days and see the results for myself and see if the girlfriend likes it. But all I can say is the TradeMate staff and myself are very happy with the results. So, Ryan, if you're listening, mate, or if anyone's listening to me out there and you're thinking you want to experience the amazing things that I'm experiencing right now, then you can get 20% off plus free shipping with the code TRADEMATE20 at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com. Use the code TRADEMATE20. Your balls will thank you, mate. Any thoughts on that, Ryan? Any ideas of, you know, things that people might want to be doing down there too?
No, you know, Mohicans, you can, you know, go whatever style you want, can't you, really?
Yeah, no, we don't shame on this. You do what you like, but I'm just saying if you wanna have a real setup down there, then I highly recommend Manscaped and getting that 20% discount, because can really change the game. Let's move on, mate. This is what everyone wants to hear. Our thoughts on the big one, Poirier versus McGregor. To the odds for this one, which I'm lagging on a bit, but I will get up on my screen. People probably know the odds by now. You can get 1.36 best odds for McGregor at Skybet and BetVictor. Exchanges are kind of, everything's kind of around that 1.33 to 1.36 mark. Dustin Poirier, you can get as high as 3.75 on the Smarkets sportsbook. I still have you every time I go onto Odds Checker, they're always the highest odds, especially for soccer and football. Have you looked at, check them out yet, Ryan?
Smarkets.
Yeah, Smarkets sportsbook.
I don't use the sportsbook. I use the exchange a lot for like match betting, and I use it for betting and stuff now. And it's really good. And I've been told that that SBK is basically the same prices, but it's with the commission removed. But I don't think you can have both. So I think if you have the exchange, I don't think you're allowed to have a sportsbook account as well. That's what I've been told anyway. But yeah, okay. They always have solid prices.
Yeah, well, you can get Dustin around 3.6. You can get 3.69 at Smarkets Exchange at least, and a little bit lower than that on the exchange. So they're the odds for the fight. I don't really need to do too much background, but Poirier comes into the fight at the top of his game, you would say, really peaking at the moment. Much better fighter than the one that fought McGregor back in 2014. For those who don't know, McGregor knocked out Poirier in 2014. Within a couple of minutes of the first round. McGregor, though, very inactive since winning the lightweight title in November of 2016 over Alvarez. only two MMA fights since then, which is pretty crazy. He's lost to Khabib in 2018 and dominated Cerrone a year ago to knock him out in, I think it was 40 seconds or something like that. So there is, I think, although he has, you know, not been that active and only two fights in the last four and a bit years, I think there is potential that he's, that he has improved quite a bit. He's 32 now, which is quite interesting, which is kind of an age where fighters tend to peak. Yeah. What are your general thoughts on this one, mate? Let's just kick it off that way.
Yeah, so it should be a good fight. I'm looking forward to it. I mean, McGregor's been hammered in now. I was just looking at where he opened on Pinnacle, and he opened at 157, which is a big price. And obviously, he's come all the way into 1.35 now. So I've taken this fight. I've taken a little bit of Poirier to win by submission. I've got like 15 on that, just because if Poirier does win, I think he's good enough to obviously go through the tough rounds, you know, round one and two, where McGregor's always very explosive and he hits very hard. And he's, you know, if Poirier's going to win this fight, he's going to have to make it dirty. He's going to have to get McGregor in the clinch. He's going to have to try and tire him out. And so, yeah, that was kind of the price that stood out for me personally. But I do think it's a tough fight for Poirier. Like, even when he wins, you know, he doesn't tend to win like really cleanly. He's always in, you know, tough fights where he takes shots and gives them. So it just seems like it's a pretty good fight for McGregor on paper. I don't see, you know, is Poirier going to out-wrestle him? Probably not. Can he win like a distance striking match? Probably not. So it's just a tough one, really, because it's been hammered in so much now that I wouldn't want to be backing McGregor at this price, because, like you say, he's been very inactive. And even the KO line, something like 1.57 now as well. So I was looking at McGregor round one. That's like 3.0 at a few bookies. So that's, you know, that's a possibility, because we know that, you know, McGregor is very sharp early on. And Poirier does get cracked as well, and he tends to need a bit of time to settle into fights. So that could be a bet to give, you know, give yourself a little bit of interest. But when I'm trying to find value in it, you know, I'm struggling. I also thought about Poirier like round four, round five, because there's some pretty big numbers there. I was seeing like 20, you know, like 27, I think I saw, and I think I saw 28 for round five. So, you know, you got some kind of big prices, but yeah, tough fight for Poirier. And I do like Poirier, and he you know, he is a top level fighter. I just think it's like a good matchup for McGregor.
Yeah, I agree. It's, as much as I'd love to see Poirier win and finish McGregor, it's, yeah, I kind of just get the feeling, and I know you can't really listen to interviews and listen to people like Dana White and stuff like that talking about McGregor, but, yeah, there seems to be a theme that McGregor's never been training harder, that he's a bit more focused. He hasn't really gotten into any outside of the cage problems in like a year or so, maybe even year and a half, 2 years. So, yeah, it kind of seems like he's focused more than ever, and I think we can sometimes actually forget how good he actually is. Outside of his striking, I think there's certainly lots of room to be critical, but, and his cardio and stuff like that. But his striking is really second to none. And even though Dustin is incredible on the feet too, you just kind of get the feeling that he's not really a match for McGregor on the feet. And that, I think if you are going to have a bet, I do actually, although there's basically never any value around McGregor betting on him, I do think McGregor by KO in the first round at threes is a pretty decent price. Like, I do think, I don't know what that correlates to, like a 33% chance of happening. I think he's a better chance than that of knocking him out in the first round. So I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, it probably is around that. Like, you know, McGregor to finish him in round one or two seems pretty likely. And I think McGregor said he's going to finish him in the first round. So, you know, whether he does it or not, it's like, and Poirier is, I mean, it's a strange one, Poirier, because he's been finished a few times. And then sometimes he does have a pretty decent chin. Like, you saw him have wars with Felder and Hooker, but then he's been finished by like Michael Johnson before. So, and then obviously McGregor's put him out before previously as well. I mean, yeah, if you want to have a bet on this fight, seems like that would be a pretty decent one.
Yeah. And yeah, like you said, if you were going to back Dustin, would you be, I don't know, would you be confident that he could win by decision, or would you more be leaning towards a finish in the third, fourth or fifth round?
Yeah, I think he'd probably need to find a finish. McGregor's, people talk about McGregor's cardio issues in the Diaz fight, but his cardio looked fairly decent against Khabib, didn't it? Like, and his takedown defense was pretty solid as well. Like, he did tire, but he held up pretty well for like the first three rounds, if my memory is correct. Khabib absolutely put it on him, didn't he? Was that the second round where he was just like throwing like massive shots and absolutely hammered him? And then, you know, he came out in the third. And like, he showed really good takedown defense there as well. So I don't think Poirier will be able to take him down either, really. Like I said, I've took Poirier still just because I thought if he does win, it's going to be because he survives and ties him, and then later on, you know, gets him down or grabs his neck.
He does like to give up a neck, old Connor, doesn't he?
Yeah, I mean, that's the way he's lost previously, you know, and he has kind of looked for ways out of fight. So that's, you know, because it's big odds, obviously, that's kind of why I've gone for it. But I don't think it's huge value, but I think there's some value there. It's like you say, you know, he has been inactive for a few years. So.
Yeah, you can get Poirier by submission at 12s, 13s. You can get 13s on the exchanges. So, yeah, I think we've highlighted a few options for people there. But I think, yeah, I don't know, generally it's hard to find value on Connor, which is kind of the name of the game for us, is trying to find value. So, yeah, it's very hard to justify any McGregor win, but any kind of McGregor bet. But, yeah, maybe the first round KO is not too bad of an angle to go with, mate. Any more to say on this fight, or should we wrap things up?
No, I don't have much more to say, buddy, on that one.
All right. Best bet of the weekend, mate. I'll happily kick things off. I'm going to, so you don't steal it. I think I actually really like Hooker KO at 3.3. I think that's some decent value for me. So I'll take that. Happy days.
So I quite like Mike Davis. So that's for the one tomorrow.
Okay.
If you can get like anything above 1.6, I'd be pretty happy to take that. I think that's a really good bet. And that Painter bet as well. Is that for tomorrow? Is that on Saturday?
It is Saturday.
Yeah, so if you can get that Painter inside the distance, if you can get like 4.5, anything above 4, I think that's a good bet for Saturday's card.
All right. Terrific, mate. If you want to follow the man himself on Twitter, you can find him at SM Sports Trader, and go and check out his website, smartsportstrader.com. He's doing some good things with trade, mate, always reviewing all sorts of things. So, Ryan is certainly a great man to follow in the betting world. Mate, we'll finish with the quiz question. I got this one right. I came up with this just off the top of my head and, you know, thought, see if I can get this one right myself before checking it. So I put a bit of pressure on. I did get this one right. McGregor's first ever win in the UFC.
Marcus Brimage, wasn't it? And he got him with that uppercut, didn't he, I think?
Yeah, no, you're too good, mate. What was his second win?
Was it Holloway?
Yeah, oh, mate, he's good. We'll just keep going. What was his third win?
let me think. That Brazilian guy, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Diego Brandão.
The Ultimate Fighter winner, yep, Brandão, yeah. Mate. Jeez, we could just go on all day. I guess it's one of those ones that's easy to remember, isn't it? Because we've all seen the documentaries on McGregor and there's just so much hype about him, so you always get reminded of those early fights. But terrific stuff, mate. Good to see you back on board with the quiz question. You got last week's wrong, I believe. So
yeah, I did, mate. Yeah,
sad stuff, but we'll wrap it up there. Next podcast coming out will be on Friday or Thursday night, whatever the time is for you, with the preview of the weekend's football, soccer action, whatever you want to call it. But other than that, thanks for listening, everyone. Good luck this weekend with your bets. It's a big week for MMA fans with two UFC cards, so it should be fun. Please do a rate and review of the podcast and subscribe to us wherever you listen to the podcast. And if you're looking to implement some of the strategies we talk about today or every week, start a free week trial with TradeMate Sports and start value betting every day of the week.